Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. This is Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. In case you're looking for another show, you tuned to the wrong station.
Good morning.
Good morning.
But you should still listen to us.
Yeah, there you go. And today is September 11, and we all know this date. Seared pretty much into our brains.
Right.
And it's a day of memory. The thing is that... you know, it was devastating because, I mean, it hit us right at home, you know, and 3,000 people dead and stuff. And I think those sights of people jumping out of the building and that was like, you can't forget that,
yeah.
You know. So I mean, I'm all for, like, you know, remembering this and, you know, having a Memorial Day and all that stuff, because that day changed everything, I think. And not just for us, but for the world, you know. And I knew, you know, when that happened, I said things are never going to be the same. Because, you know, I mean, look at the security we have now at the airports and everywhere. You know, I mean, you can't go anywhere without cameras looking at you, without being searched and stuff, you know.
Yeah, completely.
So they totally changed our lifestyle. And that's what I resent the most, you know. And they succeeded. I mean, terrorism succeeded in that. And... you know, so, but I mean, so this stuff has happened for years, and now we're seeing it continues to happen, you know, like in Iraq now and everything, and where, you know, the president went on the air yesterday and talked about ISIS and the situation there. So, yeah, it's a day, it's definitely an important day, a sad day, a day to think and reflect, I think.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. And but you know what I don't understand is, as many people are like opposed to showing the Twin Towers since that happened, you know. I don't know if you noticed that, but like people would say, oh, this picture has the towers in it, we got to take it down or something. And I've seen that happen a few times, and my question is why, you know. I mean, the towers didn't do anything to us. It's we need to remember.
Yeah, definitely.
We need to remember.
I've never seen anything being taken down, and I when you watch certain TV shows like Friends or How I Met Your Mother that are based in New York,
yeah, you still see that.
And you can still see the towers, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, because all this was done before, but yeah. I remember movies that came right after that. They cut out scenes with the Twin Towers.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and you know, and to this day, it's like people sometimes refuse to talk about it. You know, it invites a lot of conversation, I think. You
Definitely.
Know, it's something that. That has really changed our lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, and started this whole thing, you know, a war and then another war and then Al-Qaeda and everything. And now we have the new stuff going on. So for those of you who didn't listen to the president yesterday, I didn't really listen either. I usually can't sit there for an hour and watch that.
Right.
Because my mind goes numb.
Yeah.
With those speeches, you know.
Yeah.
I took away the most important points, and the thing is that he is committed now to fighting them and airstrikes and stuff. There's no commitment to soldiers on the ground, which is a good thing. Nobody wants to see us in another ground war.
Right.
But we'll see. I don't know how much the planes will help, but I hope that we can get a coalition going again where other countries are fighting too. You know, it's not, why
not
are we
just,
the ones always fighting?
Exactly. And America needs some help.
Yeah.
They can't, you know, do it alone.
I know. And because when we do, people criticize us anyway, you know.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a policeman for the world, I think. And we're the most qualified.
Right.
Definitely not the Russians, you know, or the Chinese. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's that. In a few minutes, well, yeah, so that's September 11, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interesting, deep stuff on TV and that. So
yeah, definitely.
Maybe we'll catch some of that, but not all of it.
Did you ever see the movie that came out? about it. There was a movie that came out. I never saw it either.
Yeah.
But I would like to see it.
Yeah.
But I heard it's just, I mean, you just cry.
Really, huh?
And I can only imagine, so I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Maybe when I'm having a bad day, then I'll watch it because I'm equally down.
Right.
But I would like to watch it and see what. And it's crazy to, I've met, randomly you meet people and someone might say, I've met somebody that said, oh yeah, my grandfather was in the Twin Towers. And then I met somebody that their aunt was on one of the Malaysia flights. They were going on a honeymoon. No, it wasn't honeymoon because it was his aunt. But whatever. Mm. But it's just crazy when you meet people and you don't know anyone's story at all.
Right.
Everyone's so quick to judge everybody.
I know.
And if someone sat on the street and they look like they're really upset, and it's like, you just judge them.
Right.
Like, they're crying. Like, why are you crying in public? Yeah. You're judging them. Everyone judges everybody.
Yeah.
But you don't know anybody's story.
Right.
You don't know anyone's story. And I find it so sad how the world is just so judgmental. Really is.
That's true. Everybody wants to feel they're better than everybody else, yeah. I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And we tend to criticize people that are not like us, mm-hmm. you know. But, but that's a whole other story about people judging other people, you know. My God.
Yeah.
But, I do too, you know. I mean, I do, you know, because there's certain, I have certain values and stuff. And when people go beyond that, I sort of take notice.
Yeah, I try my best not to.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone does to some extent.
I know, but, you know.
Yeah.
But I know, it's like, it's getting harder and harder because there's so much politically correct now.
Yeah.
That you can't really say anything anymore, mm-hmm. you know.
It's true.
Yeah.
You really can't. And everyone just has such different, no one's idea is the same. And then when you get, especially when you have somebody really stubborn or two people that are really stubborn together, it's just never going to work out. A conversation about religion or politics or these like such gray areas that everybody thinks differently on.
Right. Yeah. I know. They say you don't argue about religion and money, taxes, whatever.
I think it's religion, politics, and money.
Right. Religion and politics mainly. Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. You don't argue about that because people are entrenched in their opinions.
Yeah, or even just bring it up to people you don't know because, I mean, I feel like that's just a recipe for disaster.
It really is. Some people can't handle it, you know.
Yeah. I just saw a photo that says, if you're going to be a smart ass, first you have to be smart, otherwise you're just an ass.
I like that.
That made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny. So, in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, another host on LA Talk Radio, and he's a life coach and trainer and so forth. So, we're going to talk to him. Very interesting, fun man. And so, that'll be in a few minutes. Now, what else is going on? I guess Petraeus, right? They're giving him his sentence now?
Yeah, Pistorius, yeah.
Yeah. How did I call him?
I don't know how you said it. But I knew
because I
meant.
Didn't really look at it. Yeah.
But I knew who
Pistorius,
you
Pistorius, okay.
Yeah. But, and then different articles are saying different things. They're saying on CNN that it was neglect. It wasn't murder.
Right.
And
that's
then,
what the judge says, I guess.
Yeah, that's what the judges said. And then, but then also in another article, the judge has said that there's infrequencies in what he said, whether, yes, it might, saying that basically he's contradicting himself, saying that it wasn't on purpose, that he didn't do it on purpose, that his story is contradicting himself.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
And also that she thinks the jury may have been the media and everything that's happened around this case, they may have now built up a different story in their minds of what they think happened just because of everything else going on outside with this case.
Wow.
Which, that's not good for her to say that, which makes me think that this is going to, they might not come to some kind of conclusion right now because they think that the jury has been, they've been influenced from outside sources.
Gotcha. Let's come back to that because our guest is calling. Kellen Flukiger, good morning to you. Oh, he just hung up. Okay, because it rang for a while.
Oh, sorry, that was my fault.
No, it's okay. You don't know that there's a call coming in, and I don't want to cut you off either, you know. That's one thing about taking calls. You know, often it makes you, like, cut off your conversation, and it's not a great thing, you know. That's why I don't take callers, you know. I don't. Yeah, I mean, people call all the time. It's just not interesting to me. But guest is another story, you know. Yeah. So, Kellen, go ahead, call back. He was calling a couple of minutes early. That's why I guess we weren't prepared. So you're saying that the jury was influenced by...
The judge had said something about that in her statement, yes.
Oh, wow.
That she thinks that that the jury's been influenced by outside opinions, and because the media has been so intense throughout this case.
Right.
So that, to me, says that maybe that... there's not going to be some kind of exact verdict right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Just because if she's saying that, that's not very good.
Right. I know. So, but the judge says that he cannot be found guilty of intentionally killing his girlfriend. So it's already not murder, you know, so it might be like manslaughter or something. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that... he's got, in addition to the murder charge, he's got three weapons charges as well. So...
He's gonna be in there for a while.
Yeah, he's going to be in trouble for something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what, but he's in trouble for something. And it just goes to show, you know, even if it was a mistake, Charlotte, that's why I'm not keeping a gun around.
Definitely.
You know, you don't want accidents.
Yeah.
You don't want, you know, I mean, you know what? I'd rather somebody kill me or that than me sitting in jail all my life for murdering someone, you know.
Right.
So, but then again, you know, it's hard to judge people when it comes to that because it's all decisions that are made in split seconds, you know.
It's crazy because there's a photo here of them and they look so good together. They look happy. And aren't South African prisons supposed to be really bad?
I don't know.
I think that's what I heard. That
really?
They're pretty, pretty rough and scary, yeah.
Wow.
So...
Well, I don't know. I lived there, but I never got interested in the jails there.
Yeah.
Which is not really interesting to me.
I think there's a lot there's more that's going to go into it because the fact that he seems to be an aggressive person, like he got into a fight at a nightclub and got kicked out. I think it's more, there's a lot more gray.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think that there's going to be, I don't know if there'll be an exact verdict.
Yeah.
Right now.
Who knows?
Yeah.
For all you know, they could be a hung jury, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Here comes Kellen, so let's go ahead and take his call. Good morning, Kellen. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Sam. I apologize for calling early. I just wasn't precisely on the clock.
It's okay. I mean, it happens all the time, but sometimes we're in mid conversation and I don't want to interrupt, so I just figured
you shouldn't.
Yeah,
that was perfect, no problem.
Yeah, but
at all.
I picked up your call right as you hung up, so but at any rate, we're talking to Kellen Flukiger. Where are you calling us this morning from?
This morning I'm back in Phoenix. I have been in Alberta for 5 or 6 weeks actually, because we got out of the heat for a few weeks, and it's hysterical because it was beautiful summer as we left, but it snowed all the way to the border the day we left. And I heard now, 2 days later, they had 14 inches of snow yesterday in Calgary.
Wow.
Hasn't there been floods in Phoenix, too?
No. I'm in Phoenix now. That's where we live.
Right.
But my wife's got a lot of family in Alberta, and I lived up there for several years. And so we spent some of the summer up there, and as we left to drive back, Monday, it snowed all the way from Edmonton to the U.S. border, and now yesterday it snowed 14 inches. So it's a little early for up there even, but it was a lot of snow.
Yeah, wow. And you live in Arizona?
Yes, we live in Phoenix.
Yeah, so what a difference in weather, huh, for you? I mean, you guys are probably having like 100-plus degrees, right?
Yeah, it's still 100. It's supposed to be 100 a couple of days this week. The last 100 will be sometime next month.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, we're having a lot of 100-plus degrees here. So nobody's getting away from this heat, let me tell you. I wouldn't mind being in Canada right now in the snow.
You know, we really enjoyed the weeks we spent up there. And my workout in the morning outside was a little nippy, but it was a lot of fun. And, you know, when I went out to work out this morning, holy moly, I was sweating all over the place before I started.
Big difference.
Yeah. So, and have you lived in Phoenix all your life, or did you move there from somewhere else?
You know, I lived here in two stints, 82 to 95, 13 years. Then I was gone for 13, from 95 to 2008. I don't know what the 13s are about, but we moved back in 2008. And we're now, you know, halfway through another 13, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Wow, very interesting stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I've lived in several places, too. I think it's cool to live in different places during your life, you know, not to be in just one place. It's so much...
I really enjoyed moving around. I've stuck to the West. I'm not much of a humidity buff, so anywhere I've lived is in the West. I was born in California, actually, in the Bay Area, and lived there for growing up, and then... I spent some time in Utah going to school, and I've worked in Idaho. I worked in Boise. I've been in Phoenix, like I said, for those 13. I spent some years up in Canada working on a contract, actually long enough to get dual citizenship. So I have dual national citizenship. And then back to the desert for some crazy reason. So here we are now. But, yeah, I've been in a bunch of places, too.
Awesome. So for those of you just joining us, we're speaking to Kellen Flueckiger. He's you're a host on our station. You have a show called Results on a Rampage, which is definitely a memorable name. And so tell us a little bit about what your show is. What is it about? What can we expect?
Well, Results on a Rampage, I love the acronym, which is ROAR. Results on a Rampage is a breakthrough show. It's for entrepreneurs, people who have businesses or want to. And what I've done, we've had it for about 18 months now almost. And we talk about, part of it is about half just me and then half I have guests. And the guests we've had are all successful entrepreneurs. And the purpose of the show is to give entrepreneurs and would-be entrepreneurs, business owners, the tools, the story, the motivation, and the skill to launch successful businesses, to market effectively, and to stay energized and encouraged about living that lifestyle and making that stuff work. So that's what the show's about, is to help people break those barriers and get over the problems and have the tools they need for success.
Yes. And now, how did you gain all this experience? Have you been an entrepreneur yourself all these years?
Well, my story's kind of funny. I've lived about five lives. I've owned a recording studio for 35 years, and I've been a successful recording artist. Even in the last five, I've been in a group that's launched two albums that have charted number one on Billboard.
Wow,
plus,
how
I have
cool,
a lot of solo work out.
Yeah, it's like
that's my recording. What's that?
You look like such a straight kind of guy. I don't see you as like a musician and stuff, but this is really cool, you know? Go ahead.
Well, you know, my personal stuff is EDM. I do techno and electronic dance. So there's a lot of that on Amazon and iTunes under the name Techno Dance. But that's not my real career. My career that got me to Canada and everywhere else is I spent 30 years in electricity, which is about as interesting as watching paint dry. Except I was in the middle of the California deregulation and the blackouts in 2001 and the recall of Davis and that whole mess. I was in, my name's mentioned in the Enron book, Smartest Guys in the Room, because I was on the opposing side.
And really?
I testified before Congress in D.C., and, you know, so I spent 30 years in electricity, the last 12 or so embroiled in deregulation, and that's how I ended up in Canada, because Alberta had done that too, and they hired me, they hired Gunn to come up there and fix their market. And even though I retired in 2007 from 30 years of that, I've been invited in 2 weeks to go back up to Calgary and speak at the Alberta Power Summit. So I still can't get out of it, even though I, 7 years ago, launched into business coaching and so forth. So yes, I've been an entrepreneur in the studio for 30 years, 35, but I've also had a C-level corporate gig for 30 years as well.
So you've worked in corporate America as well. You have the experience of being employed by a corporation and so forth. So, so you are definitely indeed qualified to give people advice about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, do you have a website where people can find more about you and about what it is that you do? Because you do coaching, right?
I do. I'm a business coach and a personal breakthrough coach. So I have two websites that you can look to at several, but the two easiest ones are Break the Cage Now, breakthecagenow.com, which is about personal breakthrough. And then the business one is speedtoprofitmarketing.com, the T-O, not the numeral two, speedtoprofitmarketing.com and breakthecagenow.com are the two primary coaching websites.
Oh, wow. And there's a wealth of information there. I mean, this is really cool. Now, So you've had your own businesses and stuff, and so how can people get, like, do you do one-on-one with people, or do you have seminars? How does it work?
I do all of it. I have a group coaching program, which is a call a week for the group on a Google Hangout.
Mm-hmm.
I have an event four times a year called the Speed to Profit Marketing Intensive, which is a three-day event I hold here in Phoenix. And that next one of those is November 17, 18, 19. And then I also do private one-on-one coaching with people that are very intense and want to really explode in a very, very fast time frame. I call once a week, and I'm very intense and accountability-focused. My handle on YouTube is The Execution Mentor, so my YouTube channel is www.youtube.com/ The Execution Mentor, and it's just as rowdy as it sounds.
Yeah.
So you coach people to have successful businesses?
Absolutely. Totally and completely, that's what we do.
And get their life together, too, personally, right?
Absolutely, that's what we do. And the funny part about that, and I'm glad you asked that, Charlotte, because the key is the tools are the same. Because if you try to get a successful business and your life is out of balance, it blows up. If you try to, you know, you can't do one without the other very long. You can do it for a while, but it catches up with you. So there's lots of overlap between having your life in balance and having a successful business focused on serving your clients to the maximum degree.
Right. Now, I wanted to ask you, to be an entrepreneur, does it take a certain person, a certain personality, a certain temperament that would make you more likely to succeed as an entrepreneur?
It does. You have to be willing to make a commitment, a firm, bulletproof commitment that you're going to make something work, and you have to be willing to take some risks, because there are always going to be times when you have to act before you have absolutely enough data to make sure that you're right. You have to learn to trust your intuition and be willing to stick with something long enough to make it work, and at the same time, be willing to make changes if the market data and your feedback is indicating that they need to be made.
Right, and that's the point I was going to bring up, because, you know, I mean, in my experience, it's happened as well, where you make plans and they don't necessarily work out the way you planned, so then you have to make adjustments.
The way I describe that is people who do not make good entrepreneurs are the ones that go ready, aim, and they never fire.
Yeah.
The ones that make great entrepreneurs are the ones that go ready, fire, steer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that makes sense, you know. And because, you know, I mean, it's also because, you know, the reason I was thinking about this, because you said, you know, you got to take it from beginning to end and stay consistent and persistent about this. But that's the point, is you don't do it blindly. You know, I mean, you don't just say, well, this is what I decided in the beginning, so that's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you find out new things.
You do, and the market changes. I mean, think about new technology. Technology is one of the drivers.
Right.
Economic trends are one of the drivers. If you try to create a business now based on stuff that was good jobs and good stuff before 2008 crash and a lot of those changes, you'd be a hose. So you have to take account of what's going on in society and in technology and people's, you know, desires, or you're going to miss the mark every time.
Yeah.
What do you think the number one thing is that you have to be, or the number one trait you have to be a successful entrepreneur?
The number one trait, probably persistence. You have to be willing to go through the tough times, because any business you start, there's going to be one or more times where you go, do I really want to do this? Holy crap, this isn't working out. Or as fast as I want, or as much as I want, am I willing to stick this out, or would I rather go back to, you know, a J-O-B, right?
Right. Well, we're losing you with the audio. I don't know what happened there, but you're not coming.
Oh, I'm sorry. I may have moved my phone just a little bit. Did you catch the answer to that, or should I?
Yeah, we did catch it, but now you sound a lot better. You know, I thought maybe something was happening to the line, but no, we got that. You know, persistence. Mm-hmm. I think it has a lot to do with it. You can't give up. You know, and even if you have to make changes, you still make the changes, but you continue. You know, because to me, it's like, you never fail unless you quit, you know, because if you don't quit, then you're continuing. You haven't failed yet.
Right.
You know, you're still in the process. What do you think, Kelly?
I love that. Yeah. I love that, because I just actually did one of the shows, part of one of the shows, a little while ago on my Tuesday afternoon show that talked about that. Failure is when you quit. Failure is not when you don't get the outcome you want. Failure is simply a data point. And so often we take failure as a personal judgment that somehow I suck, I'm bad, I'm no good, I'm somehow a fail. You know, I am failure instead of it's a data point that means what I just did didn't work and nobody wants it. Okay, fine, data point. Right. What else should I do?
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense, you know. And I think people can take away a lot from this because many people, you know, especially in this economy, jobs are hard to come by. More people than ever, I think, are starting businesses and stuff. But many of them don't know what they're getting into.
Right.
You know.
Well, they don't. And you know, one of the interesting studies I've read is that by 20... So one of them said 2017, which is like day after tomorrow almost, and one of them said by 2020, but the point is, very soon, 40% of people will be self-employed. 20 years ago, that was 2%.
Wow.
So it's going to go from 2% 20 years ago to 40%, a 20-fold increase in that space of time. And so the idea of being an entrepreneur, my answer is get used to it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. You know, and I think if anything, you know, people should be encouraged because I think this is one of the easiest places in the world to succeed in the United States, you know. And that's why so many people are coming here because it is easy. You know, the sky's the limit here. People, I mean, the government, for the most part, leaves you alone to do whatever it is that you want. In other countries, I know it's not quite like that.
Yeah.
You know, higher taxes.
You're right.
And
I completely agree. You know, they've always called it historically the American dream and all that sort of thing, but it's possible. And the answer is, I get this question all the time from people, can I really do this? Is it really possible? And my answer is emphatically, not only yes, but there's actually never been a better time than right now. Mm-hmm. Because the internet has made it possible to do what we're doing right now, to broadcast all over the world, to reach customers everywhere, and that just a few years ago wasn't even possible. So there's never been a better time.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Kellen Flueckiger, the show is Results on a Rampage. You can catch it here on LA Talk Radio Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific time on Channel 1. And a great show. How long have you been doing it now, Kellen?
We're coming up on 18 months.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
So obviously you have a lot to say, and that's a mm-hmm. great thing. And, you know, we're looking forward to more of the same. Everybody go to the website and give your websites out again.
Websites, www.breakthecagenow, which is for personal reinvention. I call those people radical change candidates. And the other one is www.speedtoprofitmarketing.com, which is purely for entrepreneurs, marketing, business help, getting started, and all that good stuff.
Sounds great. Well, you sound like you know what you're talking about, and I guess that helps when you're a coach.
Yeah, it helps.
Yeah, it does. Kellen, thank you so much for joining us. And,
hey, thanks, Sam. I appreciate the opportunity.
Of course, anytime. And you're a fascinating man, a lot of experience. And I think if anybody wants to take advice from someone, you're the person to go to. Mm-hmm. So thanks again, Kellen, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sam and Charlotte. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely recommend starting a business. It's not what it's cracked up to be. It really isn't, you know.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book right now. I just got a book on starting your business based on Shark Tank, the show Shark Tank.
Uh-huh.
I've never watched it, but I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah, it's like you come up with like a business idea or something and they tell you. I guess if they decide to invest in you, then they help you also?
Yeah, they give you a certain amount of money.
Right.
They'll say how much money they're going to give you and invest in the company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool, you know, because you're talking to people who've been through it before. And,
exactly.
And know what they're talking about, you know.
Yeah.
And even they can't know for sure, you know. That's mm-hmm. what investment is. It involves risk, you know. But that's why when you want to start a business, you got to have answers for people, you know.
Because
they're going to ask you, how are you going to make money? Who's going to buy this from you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And where are you going to be 10 years from now? So you have to be prepared for all these things. And I think that's what Kellen does, is he gives you sort of like a map of how to
Yeah, and make sure you know everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. How to get there. Yeah. So breakthecagenow.com and then speedtoprofitmarketing.com. And I see he's also got KellenFlukiger.com. So all his websites, coaching and blogs and things like that. So a wealth of information.
Yeah.
We do have cool hosts here. I'm proud of all the hosts we have. You
definitely.
Know?
And how many shows is it?
About 80 shows we have.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
That's and a already, lot of shows to keep track of. So.
It really is, you know. I mean, it's like an average of about 12 to 15 shows a day that our engineers have to run here, you know, maintain everything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you need very good customer service to be able to handle and retain so many people.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, definitely.
But we give them what they want. We make dreams come true here.
And it's awesome how, I mean, Kellen is in Arizona.
I know.
And then Max is in Miami. And you can do the show from anywhere.
Exactly. And you can have your co-host somewhere else at the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we have a new show coming up starting Saturday from Australia.
Wow.
You know, and she's doing a show in Hollywood. And her name is Alicia Mayer, actually, and she's part of the family of MGM, Metro Golden Mayer, if you remember.
Yeah.
There's MGM.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Mayer in the name, she's in that family. So I guess she's into old Hollywood and classic Hollywood and things like that, you know. So that's what she's going to talk about. She'll have some great guests as well.
It's funny that the... we're based in Hollywood.
Right.
And a show about Hollywood is in Australia.
She's doing it from Australia. Yeah. I know. I know. But I don't blame her for living there, you know. I mean, actually, we should have her on the show, too, and we'll find out why she's there.
Yeah.
If she's from an American family. But remember, I mean, we were talking about best places in the world to live, and Australia
was
kept
up there.
Coming up, you know. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I probably would try it. It's just a little too far, though, from everybody, you know.
Right.
Although, you know, nothing that a flight can't handle.
Exactly. But. We're already a flight from our families.
Exactly.
It was another flight.
That's true, right?
Yeah. But Australia, I loved it. I thought it was the best of America. All the best things about America and all the best things about England.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a cool place.
I absolutely loved it.
Wow. I'll have to check it out, man. Like I said, I don't like the long flights, but what can you do? You know, I don't have a choice sometimes.
Yeah, I went in August, so it was their winter, and we went up to the Great Barrier Reef, and it was freezing. It was
really?
So cold. We were snorkeling, and it was so cold. But my friend, I went to visit my then college roommate, because she's from there, and she lived in Brisbane, and went up to the Gold Coast, and we just went. It was amazing. We stayed in a hostel up the Great Barrier Reef, and it was just so great. And the hostels are so nice because that's, I think, a lot of people backpacking. Well, they do. They backpack
right.
in Australia, and I could. And I'm not. I don't know, hostels and I don't know, I'm camping. I'm not a big camping.
You need
either.
5-star hotel, right?
No, I don't need 5-star.
Okay. You would
but
prefer.
Just like a nice duvet to cuddle in at night. No, yeah. I don't want to come off as like a snob, but I really liked, and I think when, because I always wake up during the night to go to the bathroom, so having to leave my room, go into and see other people and go into a public restroom at night, that just scares me. But I really enjoyed it. It was a really, really nice hostel,
right.
And it was just, it was a great experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds cool,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I see all the adventures people have when they're young, you know. And then you grow older, you build your own business, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But it's part of life, you know. What can I say? It, you know, as hard as it sounds and everything, it's so rewarding, though.
Right.
You know, when you create something out of nothing, you know, and suddenly it becomes
imagine.
A reality.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know. So, so that's that. So we talked about Pistorius. I think we pretty much covered everything there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're still waiting for the verdict to see what's happening. And
I think it might be today. Well, it's supposed to be today or early tomorrow morning.
Right. Yeah. I think they're deliberating now or something. So,
I guess Facebook is testing disappearing posts. So you know how Snapchat is you send photos and then within 10 seconds it disappears.
Right.
Well, Facebook is looking into doing posts, photos, a status, whatever. And then you can set a minute, 10 minutes, 2 hours,
oh, wow.
but then it'll disappear.
Really?
I don't get the point in that.
I know.
But
I know. Well, maybe if you want to make an announcement and then it gets old, you know, once it's passed it or something. I mean, that would be one thing. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you can just tease people and, you know, and then they don't see it anymore. I mean, that Snapchat thing, I can't imagine using it for anything other than sex, you know, like nudity and stuff, you know. I mean, what else are you going to send that people need to erase, you know?
Well, I did have it at one point, and me and my friends would send, like, really ugly photos of ourselves. And that's what we used it for, to make each other laugh.
All right, so I guess there are excuses for it. People can always come up with something, you know?
Yeah. Then I was like, this is just stupid. And I also think people use it as kind of a show-off app to kind of show what they're doing in their life all the time. Like, I'm at the beach, now I'm getting drinks, now I'm doing this, now I'm doing that. It's kind of to show off, like, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. And not actually record the stupidity, right?
Right.
That you do sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. No documentation of that. No track of the stupidity.
Apparently no
did.
Track. Yeah. I don't know where these photos go after 10 seconds, but I don't think they go somewhere where they're never going to be seen again.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, and this, I was going to bring this up about 5 million Gmail passwords were leaked. And so we're talking about, you know, online security and everything. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, so you have these things, you don't know where they go, you know, you don't know where
scary.
They end
I
up.
Have Gmail.
Right. You know, yeah, I know, I do it too, everybody does.
Yeah.
But that's why... that's why passwords are not a great way to protect our data.
Right.
And I don't know why they're still not putting like fingerprinting on everything, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have it on the phone and things like that, but we don't have it where it counts most, like on websites and our computer and stuff.
But how would that work to have your fingerprint on a website?
Because you would have like a fingerprint reader on your computer, for example.
Okay.
Yeah, so just like you have on the iPhone, you know.
Right.
So let's say it would ask you for your fingerprint, and you just put it
and
there.
Yeah,
I mean, today they have like attachments to the computer and stuff you can do it
That's
with.
That's true.
But you have to have sites that support it as well, you know. So... So I hope that's going to happen soon. I mean, they've been talking about it for 30 years.
Wow.
About that. So
doesn't look like it's coming.
No,
it hasn't
I don't.
Already.
I know. Well, at least Apple adopted that. And I like it. You know, I like not having to put the code all the time.
Yeah.
I just run my finger on it and it works. So, yeah. So that's cool, you know. I'm thinking of that Snapchat. Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, if you're sending texts and stuff... yeah, I guess I'd want it maybe deleted.
Would.
I don't know. Depends. So people can go back to it.
Yeah. And then they're gone. Do you think you're going to get the iPhone 6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, actually, you know, with one of the girls I met, we were going to exchange like explicit photos. And then I told her, I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not even taking a picture so it'll be on my phone because then it'll end up somewhere, you know, and definitely not sending it to you. I don't know where it'll end up, man. I can't afford this.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you is this. Stop making sex tapes and stop taking nude pictures of yourself. Like, Jennifer Lawrence and any of that. None of this would have happened if you don't take nude photos of yourself.
Yeah,
why do you need to do that? You know,
yep.
I mean, who are you going to send it to? You already know what you look like, and the people you're going to send it to probably already know too.
Yeah,
you know,
so what's
most
the point?
Likely. Yeah, why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. You know, and then the sex tapes. It's like, come on, you know, say. I mean, you know, shoot yourself having sex. I don't know that it looks that great, you know?
Yeah. I don't understand it either.
I know. I don't want to see myself having sex. I don't. I mean, the funny thing is some porn stars that I met, they don't watch themselves on camera either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on film,
that's
you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. I know. They just do it, but they don't want to see what they look like.
Huh.
So, yeah, I mean, if you don't want the stuff on the internet, just don't do it, you know, because you don't know where it's going to end up. And, you know, especially these kids, you know, like sexting to each other, sending pictures, and then it ends up like in the whole high school.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. Not good.
No, and kids
Not
do stupid things, you know?
And then you have a reputation that's going to last you forever.
Yeah.
Or at least for your school years.
Yeah, exactly, you know? And, I mean, if anything, you just perceived as stupid, if nothing else. I don't know what else you can say. But, yeah, so all these passwords leaked from Gmail ended up on a Russian Bitcoin site.
Oh, wow.
You know what Bitcoin is? Have you heard of it?
I haven't.
It's like a virtual money that they're hoping that it'll catch on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can pay with it, like for internet things, online things, and nobody can trace it to you.
Oh, I have, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was called that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's yeah, it's Bitcoin. And I guess those passwords ended up on a site there, on a forum, and usernames and passwords, man. And yeah, those Russians seem to do that quite a bit, you know.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I have an article here that it's 12 special qualities a woman has that mean you should never let her go, that a man should never. So if a woman has all of these, you should definitely never let her go.
Oh, okay. Meaning, let's hear some of that.
She's smarter than you.
Right. So you don't want to let her go, right?
She's beautiful.
Right.
Kind and nurturing.
Uh-huh.
She loves you with all her heart, willing to make compromises. She feels like home. Mm. She's happier to tell. She's more than happy to tell you when you're wrong.
Yeah.
She's strong but feminine, passionate, driven, means the world to you.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess those are qualities that all men, they want. They want those, because I don't think that men want necessarily just a little, like a girl that's just such a pushover. They want somebody strong,
right,
but also feminine.
Right. What about if she makes more money than you? Should you stick around too? Does it say that?
I think that probably, yeah.
Yeah. If she makes more than you, yeah, don't be embarrassed. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely.
Consider yourself lucky.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
It's not, I mean, I don't think it's embarrassing for a woman to make more money than a man. You know, I mean, it's just in today's world, you know, I don't think about these things.
Right.
You know?
I don't either.
Yeah.
I think it's just part and parcel of, and life. I mean, you go through so many different jobs that one minute you might be making more, 1 minute you won't be. So I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah, well, I think for some it is, you know, because, I mean, not that it would be for me, and it shouldn't be for people, but I think some, they have this male ego, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
But that is sexism, I think, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, I'll take all these qualities in a woman. Why not? Sounds
yeah,
like
right?
a perfect woman to me.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, what are some of the things that are important in a man, do you think, for a woman? That he would be financially secure? That's an important thing?
I think more loyalty and...
Right. Like don't go around cheating and stuff like that.
Yeah, and trustworthy.
Right.
And I think more of those qualities than... Because I don't think girls... Well, I mean, some girls are... Well, he has to be great looking, but
right.
that's... I don't think all girls are like that. I think that's more of a male thing.
You think so, huh? Men are more...
More so than women.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
obviously
true.
There are women that... It's like, I will not date anybody that's not good looking.
Right.
But I think... I mean, I'm more about values and morals and...
Yeah, because that's what you have to live with, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
The looks are fine, you know? But once you get over that, now you have to live with a person.
Right.
You know? And if they're not as beautiful inside as they are outside, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, definitely.
So I agree with you.
And
you
somebody
know?
That's hardworking and cares about themselves and the way they look and isn't kind of a slob. And
right, I know.
Yeah.
Wear those baggy shirts and flip-flops
and
stuff.
Yeah, just cares about their appearance.
Yeah, exactly.
And is strong and wants a good career for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say those are some of the qualities that...
Yeah. So, yeah, you're looking for someone who's together pretty much.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's what all women are...
Yeah.
I'm lucky my boyfriend is.
Yeah.
But I think that's what all women want. But I think it's more of the... morals that women are looking for, the trustworthy, the loyalty, those kind of things.
Right, yeah. Because, yeah, and that's what I hear. It's because, like, for a man, if his woman cheats, it's like harder than you know, like for a woman, it's harder if the man, it's not the sex, but it's the lies, it's the emotional involvement,
right.
I think. And it's a projection of ourselves. Like, for example, if a woman is jealous because the husband had an affair, but she's not so much jealous of the sex as she was of the emotional investment, then that's a projection of how she feels about relationships.
Right.
You know, but the man might only view this as, hey, it's just sex, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't care about this woman. I still love you, but I just want sex. Because for men, sex is not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know.
But you shouldn't have to get women, it from means, somebody else when you're in a relationship.
No, that's true. No, I'm not saying you're supposed to. I'm just saying that the people project what they feel. So if a man feels that sex is not a big deal, I think the man would be more offended if she had sex, and the woman's more offended if the man's emotionally involved,
right,
with the other person.
Yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm,
that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're saying some women, they might not mind the cheating, just the sex part, but they don't want nobody else to take a place in your heart, type of a thing.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, men and women are different, and some people don't want to acknowledge that, but we are different, you know.
Yeah.
And biologically, you know, physically, mentally, psychologically, in every way, we're different, you know. We're, mm-hmm, we're humans, yeah, but we're born with different needs and stuff. And you see, the things you were describing, if you put them in like primal terms, those are things that the woman would feel safe if the man had,
right,
you know,
mm-hmm,
like the values and, you know,
yeah,
things like that. You know, if he values family and all that stuff, that's what she's looking for. She's looking for someone to help support her and the family.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
You know, that's what the animal world is, and mm-hmm, that's what we are. And the man is looking pretty much for a place to deposit his sperm. Not much more than that. No, I'm kidding. Men like families too, and I mean, obviously, half of the people that get married are men, so there must be something.
So there's
got
to be some desire for it.
Exactly. Yeah. So finally, well, there's still a lot to talk about, but I guess Verizon is offering the iPhone 6 for free. So the way it works is because I guess the phone is offered for $200. So what they do is if you turn in your old phone, they'll give you $200 back and you'll pay for the new iPhone.
Yeah,
that.
I heard that.
That sounds good. But you know what? I'm starting to... Oh, I guess that's Verizon. Okay, that's okay. But AT&T, I'm really starting to be disillusioned with them.
I hate them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the bill is so high. And now, you know, I mean, because we have like a family plan type of thing with four people on the phones, we end up with like $300 a month, mm-hmm, you know. And then I go by Sprint, for example. It says, oh, four people, family plan, $100 a month.
Yeah.
And get a free phone, too. It's like, wow, you know. So what am I doing with AT&T?
Right.
And they say they'll pay off your contract, too.
Oh, wow.
Like the penalty or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they really want you badly. So why would you go and stay with a company that doesn't give a crap about you? And they've really gotten bad, you know.
Yeah.
They've really gotten bad. The same with my, and, you know, when I went to get my last iPhone last year, they're like, oh, you should get, the U-verse, you know, the TV and all that stuff.
They try and sell you the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. And they did. It's like, oh, your TV and internet would be $100. I'm like, great, you know.
Yeah.
Let me do it. But unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we got to run, man. And I'm totally distracted. So I always feel bad when I run over time because there's people coming after us. But that's it. Thank Kellen for calling in.
Yep.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thanks,
everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.